Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Quite a week on Wall Street. Is this a run-of-the-mill correction? Or is it something worse? Stocks entered correction territory this past week as the S&P 500 was down about 10% from the peak in late July, renewed by a rise in long-term government bond yields and mixed earnings from mega tech companies. So the Dow was off for the week 2.1%, S&P off 2.5%. Dow now is negative for the year. So the Dow is down 2.2% for the year to date. S&P is still up over 7. NASDAQ up over 20 still, but down 2.6 for the week. The MSCI, that international index, which was positive forever, now is negative. It's down 0.1% for the year to date. For the week, it was off just about 1%. And the 10-year treasury closed at 4.83% this week. Year to date, still up 1%. Oil had a decent little pullback here, down 3.3% for the week, closing at $85.21 a barrel. And bonds year to date with this rise are down 2.2% overall. So I got a great question. This came from a listener who was saying, hey, I saw this article. I don't know if you saw this. This was in the Wall Street Journal this past week. And the title of the article was this. It was called Another Black Monday May Be Around the Corner. Now, Robert, who happens to be down in Santa Ana, he must listen to the Southern California show. Robert asked me this question. He said he read the article and he wanted to know about Black Monday. Is another crash imminent? Was his question. So, Robert, thanks for pointing this out. I'm going to get through this article here because it's interesting. It basically is talking about Black Monday. And for those of you who remember, Black Monday is vernacular for the stock market crash that we saw October 19th of 1987. Now, I remember that day very well because I remember friends of mine talking about getting in the stock market. And there's a couple stocks that we bought together and we lost a lot of money. It was that fast. And I started to learn about, well, stocks aren't just something you just put money in and just automatically goes up. Doesn't work that way. And so that event, looking at the article, first of all, was caused by a multitude of factors. One of the biggest ones at that time was the creation of what we now look at daily, which are stock index futures. Now, at that time, those were illiquid and there was very little volume and there wasn't a lot of understanding in the marketplace about what those actually meant. So what happened is on a Sunday night, there was a lot of selling, and because it was such a low volume, it caused the Dow to fall 22% in just one day. Now, I know during the pandemic, we had some times like that. You may remember that. So we're not, you know, so shocked by that anymore, but still, it's a pretty big drop if you see it in one day, especially with a big index, right? And so that is related in this article to AI-driven and these algorithms, these trading, these formulas that drive the market, and maybe something similar. Well, again, I'm going to disagree with that because today we have this breaker system. It's like a circuit breaker. And in the last 15 years, we've had several instances where things have failed and the breakers go off. It makes everybody pause. You can't trade for a while. And that tends to let people sort of rejuvenate and think about it before they just start selling. We didn't have that on Black Monday in 1987. So that's a difference. The plumbing is more advanced. We're not just using, you know, old metal piping that clogs up anymore, right? You can free flow it. All right, enough of that. Had my chaga today. Second, the thesis of Wall Street Journal article is this, the M2 money supply. What the heck is M2 money? Now, I know you listen to the show because you do get some education. That's good. So what's M2? M2 is basically cash, checking accounts, savings, things that are liquid. You can convert to cash right now if you want to. And the article talks about how the M2 money supply has gone down 3.9% in less than a year. And that when you compare that to, get this, the 1933 Great Depression, they're similar. So logically, you're drawing the conclusion that, oh my, the money supply has dropped just as much. Rates are rising. Are we going to have another Great Depression? That's what the article is talking about. And I can understand the logic. And I'm going to agree that M2, which is again cash, has declined at the fastest pace year over year since the Depression. But here's where we think a little bit. And we can't look at that decline most recently in a vacuum. Why? Because the Fed increased M2 by, get this, $6 trillion in 2 years. So it's dropped about a trillion since that happened. But if you look at M2 currently, it's still at $5 trillion. And so, yes, I agree with the article, pace and direction matter, but so too does absolute value. And if you consider how much money, seriously, how much money has been created by the Fed in the last couple of years, that you got a long way to go before that money supply gets into really the kind of trouble we're talking about for the Depression. So I disagree with the article in several instances. And the point of this isn't to try and imply that, look, we're not facing a slowdown. I've been talking about that for a while, that we are looking at a slowdown. It's going to come. But I don't think it's going to come until later this year or early next year. And I do think that stocks are going to start to suffer like they have been. And look, I've been saying this for months now. I've been talking about this. Go back and listen. So I don't see the drop in M2 or the fact that the economy is slowing down or that the market's starting to pull back, that it's increasing the chance of a Black Monday. I just don't see that absent some surprising event, because today, let's face it, we get surprises all the time and anything could happen and it could certainly be a surprise, which the market won't like. So I think until that happens, we need to keep looking at the data like we do each week, because I believe that's truly the key to navigating this market over the medium and longer term. All right, so next question you want to know is, well, what should I be doing right now then? First and foremost, for the support level on the 10-year treasury, I just mentioned where we closed for the week, 4.83%. Your upside resistance level on the 10-year is a 515. So just from the charting we're doing right now, we're seeing 515 as the support, meaning if it broke through that, the 10-year could run higher, which wouldn't be good for stocks. So right now we're in this 483 range. Saw 5% last week, week before that. Where will it go? We'll see. S&P 500, I know you all want to know about that because you remember last week I talked about 4250 and we broke that this week, didn't we? And we closed at 4117. Okay, so the next support level, 3980. Write that down, 3980, another 5% or so.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.